He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is July the 18th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California, home of Comic-Con this week. The Comic-Con convention is here. That means the goons and the ghouls and the zombies will be marching through the streets of San Diego. So be careful this week. Bring your own parking spot with you if you're visiting San Diego this week. Right now we have a decent start to the market. It's better to wake up to green than to wake up to red. The Dow is up about 5 points right now. It's been slipping above and below the line. However, we're at all-time highs. 18,526. Remember how I kept saying that the market is trading in a 1,000-point range, 17,000 to 18,000? Well, not anymore. We had a breakout over last week, and that was the subject of my newsletter. The S&P 500 up a couple here, 2,163 new all-time highs. NASDAQ at 5,045. It's up 15 points right now. It's starting to gain a little bit of steam here this morning. Crude oil, however, and the crude oil stocks are off today. Crude oil is down 75 cents a barrel. $45.20. It seems to want to stay in that $45 to $50 range. Gold is up $5 an ounce to $13.32. Silver down 16 cents an ounce to $20. $20 per ounce for silver. The euro is at 1.10. The 10-year yield is at 1.56%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Well, we had a little bit of activity over the weekend. None of it seems to be impacting the markets today. When I saw the news that Turkey was falling, that the army was taking over, I thought, oh boy, that's not going to be good for the markets on Monday, let alone the poor people over there in Turkey. But the coup has failed, and Erdogan remains in power, and the Turkey stock market is actually holding in there right now. We have the RNC, the Republican National Convention, beginning today. They have a four-day run in Cleveland. And I don't know. I think there could be some turmoil back there in Cleveland as that convention is held. But so far, we're not seeing any impact on the markets here yet. We're going to have a lot of earnings this week. I mean, a lot of earnings this week. We're going to get 90 of the biggest companies in America reporting earnings this week. And all eyes will be on that as far as consensus estimates for this year, consensus estimates next year. During the course of today's show, we'll talk about where those consensus estimates are right now and what that means for the market. You know, I heard a guy on one of the financial channels, actually the Fox Business Channel here this morning, saying that the market is pricing in 20% growth next year. I hear people all the time say stuff on there that is just not true. I don't know where he's getting his statistics from, but most people are expecting about 10 or 11% growth in the market next year. And most people are using multiples that are a little bit elevated than historic multiples in the market. Why? Because we have a very low interest rate environment right now, and that elevates stock multiples. And it's not true that the market is pricing in 20% growth. In fact, he was basically saying, you know, if you think that it's going to be 20% growth, hang in there and don't do anything. But if you don't, maybe you shouldn't be in the market right now. So I just disagree with what he said. Lots of opinions in the market. I try to base mine on actual facts. I'm a real numbers guy. I crunch those numbers every single week on 500 companies that make up the S&P 500. Well, I just take the consensus estimates and add them all up and divide it. It's still quite a bit of work, but at least, you know, I've got the right facts when I come to you on the radio show every morning. We have some earnings in here so far today. The biggest one is Bank of America. How many of you bank at Bank of America? Bank of America reported earnings. Bank of America beat earnings by a little bit. Bank of America is in the Dow, and it's in the S&P 500. Another one that beats, I believe right now we're at about 68% of the companies that have reported have beat earnings. And Bank of America is up 1.3% this morning. I have no position in Bank of America. I have no interest in Bank of America. We also have SoftBank. We got a little merger activity over the weekend. SoftBank buying Arm, A-R-M-H, which is a big semiconductor company out of the UK. They're a designer of microprocessors and physical IP components used in mobile phones, computing devices, and digital TVs. This is a pretty big deal. ARM Holdings is a $31 billion company, and that stock, well, they got some crazy numbers there on it, but Yahoo's numbers aren't right. Let me go over here. ARM is up, I believe, about 40%. Right now. So big deal in the semiconductor, and that's pushing a few others higher. Last week I featured my Broadcom in that same industry, symbol AVGO, and in sympathy with this merger activity, Broadcom is up 1.1% here today. Ah, Nintendo. We should have seen this one. Look at this thing. Holy cow. It's a rocket ship to the moon right now. Remember that ride at Disneyland, Rockets to the Moon? They didn't go to the moon, but they went pretty high, enough to give me a stomach ache. Nintendo ought to give you a stomach ache for missing it, maybe a nosebleed here. Nintendo, Pokemon, hey, this stock is up $17 billion in 1 week. Before Pokemon was released, it was a $25 billion company. And I saw everybody in my office here playing Pokemon. I said, Pokemon? That was a stock way back in the late 90s that went to the moon. Well, Nintendo revived it. Pokemon Go is going into 26 countries eventually here. And Nintendo's stock has bolted higher from $16 a share. Today it's hitting $37 a share. It's taken just 2 weeks for it to do that. It's up another 12.6% today. Symbol N-T-D-O-Y. Now, the first Pokemon craze, I made a lot of money in that Pokemon stock, and I put it out on Twitter. What was the name of that Pokemon stock? And I got the answer. It's in my Twitter feed here somewhere, but there was a stock back in 1999. That came up with Pokemon and all the little chips that they traded and everything. And that stock soared back then. And then the craze went away, and it's been gone now for about 16, 17 years. And now it's back. Nintendo, N-T-D-O-Y. Look at that chart, would you? Wells Fargo downgrades Monster Energy. Well, okay. I don't own Monster Energy. Nor do I own Nintendo, sadly, at the current time. Smith & Wesson is buying Taylor Knives. All right, well, guns, knives, they all go together. Lennox. Lennox has been a really good small cap over the years. They make air conditioners and heating units. Boring stuff. But, man, that company has grown their earnings by 21% per year. Over the last 5 years. Lennox beats earnings, stock down just a little bit here this morning. Schwab reports earnings in line. Hey, come on. I thought the robo-advisors were raking in dough over there at Schwab. The stock down about 0.25%. I actually read an article last week about how very few of the robo-advisor companies will be able to survive because the margins are so thin and it costs so much to acquire a client for your robo-advisor service that many of the robo-advisor startups, which seems to be the hot ticket right now, will not be around, kind of like almost the dot-com craze. Hasbro beats by 2 cents. Well, they need to license some of those Pokemon critters, I think. When we come back, I heard an analyst say the market is pricing in 20% growth. Well, let's get to the real numbers, and can this market that's hitting new highs support higher highs? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The Best Stocks Now app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the Best Stocks Now app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the title of Friday's newsletter, and if you're not getting my weekly newsletter, I've been writing it in one form or another for the last 20 years. Everybody knows that my house, that Friday is newsletter day, and I really enjoy that. You know who gets the most out of the newsletter every week? I do, because I'm forced to look at every single angle that I feel is important. It's just like the guy who teaches the lesson at church on Sunday. Who gets the most out of the lesson? The guy giving the lesson. That's generally the way it is. And that's one reason that I do the newsletter, for my own benefit, to make sure that I've looked at everything that there possibly is to look at. The title of the newsletter, by the way, GundersonCapital.com is where you can sign up for my weekly newsletter. I'm the guy who had a buy signal on the market. I haven't always been bullish, but I never took the buy signal off of the market. I'm a market timer, and I've had a buy signal since late March 2009. Today we'll go over whether or not that buy signal is still in place, and if not, why not? And if it is, why? But the title of last week's newsletter was Breakout. And I had a picture of a fist going through a wall. Hopefully it was not your fist. Well, here we are. We had a record-breaking week in the market, hitting new all-time highs. Now, why? Why did the market finally break out last week to those new all-time highs? The market has basically been going sideways since early 2015. That's right. If you look at a chart, which I showed in my newsletter, I showed why the market has been going sideways for almost the last 18 months. It's because earnings have been going sideways. The breakdown in oil prices impacted one of the sectors of the S&P 500, and it sent their earnings from being positive to negative, and it weighed on overall S&P 500 earnings. Therefore, my theory has always been that the market indexes stocks follow earnings. As earnings rise, stocks indexes rise. As earnings level off, which they have for the last 18 months, indexes and stocks level off. And that's what's occurred over the last 18 months. But we had that breakout last week because now the market is expecting higher earnings and growth to resume after a two-year pause that kept earnings flat for the last 2 years. Now, to say that the market has been flat over the last 2 years, that's a correct statement. We're basically, we have been trading flat, but along the way, we've had a 16% plunge, and we've had a 14% plunge. And I showed a picture in the newsletter over the weekend of the last 3 years, 2 years, 2.5 years in the market, and it shows those two plunges, deep plunges, and recoveries, subsequent recoveries. And then I showed a picture of the roller coaster at Knott's Berry Farm, the wooden one. I like the old wooden roller coasters. you can hear them rattle and hum and shake and tremble. And we've had, that's the Ghost Rider, by the way, the Ghost Rider roller coaster at Knott's Berry Farm has a very similar look to the market over the last 18 months. The bottom line is, however, we're back to the peak. And finally, after trading in a range of 17,000 recently on the downside, we've been as low as 15,000, however, and 18,000 on the upside, we finally broke through the ceiling. Finally. Now, along the way of this sideways action, like I said, we've had a 16% plunge, we've had a 14% plunge, and there were a couple of reasons for that. The biggest reason was the plunge in oil prices. For a while there, we didn't know where it was going to end, especially earlier this year in January, when oil got down to $26 per barrel and Goldman Sachs said it was going to $13 per barrel. Had that happened, I believe that would have put us into a bear market. And for that reason, I took some defensive action earlier this year on a temporary basis. I never put out a sell signal on the market, but I did raise some cash. I try to limit my individual stock losses to a maximum of about 15%, give or take. Sometimes it's less than that. Sometimes it's a little more than that. Once in a while, a stock will get hammered beyond that. But overall, I try to limit. Now, think back to the year 2000 when the NASDAQ went down 80%. Had you had like a 15% stop loss rule or mental stop in your head, think of all the stocks in your portfolio at that time, we're talking the 2001, 2002 time frame, that went down 80, 90%. Well, we learned back then that it's probably a good idea to keep some kind of a leash on the stocks that you own. And earlier this year, I had some stocks that went beyond the mark on the downside that I was forced to sell as a precaution. I put in a safety net underneath my portfolios, the portfolios of folks that I manage money for. And I also put in a few, just a few. I never got to more than 5%, 6% overall. I put in some inverse funds and hedges at that time. And had the market continued to plunge at that point, had oil continued to plunge, I would have been in a good position because I would have continued to add to my inverse positions. This was kind of a fire drill, wasn't it, for the bear market that we'll eventually have. Bear markets come along about every 5 years, and now we're in the eighth year of this current bull market. We know that every day we get one day closer to that bear. And you can see from the action that I took in January that I was prepared. And I was prepared to really go in and start raising those inverse funds and maybe even profit from a bear market if it gets really, really, really nasty, but it didn't. It quickly recovered. I had to back out of my positions very quickly, my hedges, and I had to buy back some stocks or buy different stocks to replace the ones that I sold. But I never sold everything. I still kept a hefty amount on the long side of the market. But it cost me some performance earlier this year. I bought some trip insurance. The trip went smoothly, and it ended up we didn't need the trip insurance after all. Hindsight, always 20/20. But I don't want people's accounts to go down 50, 60, 70, even 80% like the NASDAQ went down back in 2001, 2002. I don't believe in being a buy and holder. I am a market timer, and I try to protect when that eventual bear and that eventual recession come along. So where are we right now? When we come back, we'll take a look. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing market. place. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, just to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Appleby. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com. Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a hunting magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe." Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
Yeah.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market broke out to new all-time highs last week. Can the market continue to support higher highs? Well, we'll discuss that here in the second half of this show. You know, every investor has to decide for themselves whether they want to be a buy and holder, passive investor, which I would say the vast majority of investors have chosen to go down that path, versus an active investor and try to get defensive during bear markets and try to protect during bear markets. Everybody's got to make that decision for themselves. I'm in my third decade of being in this business. I witnessed the 80% drop in the NASDAQ back in 2002. Actually, it was a 75% drop. Here we are 15 years later, and we're just getting back to where the NASDAQ was. You can look this up for yourself. Look up a 20-year chart of the NASDAQ, which I showed in my newsletter over the weekend. Some 20 years later, we're getting back to where the NASDAQ was 16 years ago. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. So if you were an index investor, you had to have the iron stomach, the stomach for riding that market down some 53%, and then several years later, finally getting back to where you were during that bear market at the bottom of it. During the last bear market, I was inventing. I was tinkering. I was putting together my Best Stocks Now app, and it was based on the idea that on a relative basis, all of these stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs compete against one another each and every day, but over time, they establish track records. They establish one-month returns, three-month returns, six-month returns, one-year returns, three-year returns, five-year returns, 10-year returns, and I played around with formulas that would rank them on a relative basis from a long-term performance point of view, an intermediate-term performance point of view, and a short-term performance point of view. And in my mind, I said to myself, you know, there's times when gold on a relative basis is the best place to be. There are times when inverse funds are the best place to be. There's times when the go-go, foot on the pedal, pedal to the metal areas of the market are the best place to be. There's times when across the pond is the best place to be. There's times when the domestic variety of stocks are the best vintage. And that was the concept that it was based upon. But I've also watched over time that there's more to the market than just relative strength and performance. The reason that the NASDAQ got clobbered back in 2001, 2002 was a valuation issue. So the other half of my formula, which is my recipe, everybody's got their own recipe for spaghetti sauce, or for salad dressing, or for whatever your specialty is, barbecue. In Texas, it's barbecue. Everybody's got a little twist. Well, this is my twist. Like it or not, this is the twist that I've chosen over the years. I've chosen to not go along with the crowd, which is robo-advisors. You know, a lot of these millennials now are choosing. They're easy pickings right now. They're computer-oriented kids. They want to look up their portfolio on their iPhone. They want it automated. They don't want to have to do the research and whatnot. And many of them are choosing to go this robo-advisor route. And the big advisory firms are going whole hog because it's easy pickings right now. It's an easy story to sell, I guess. But a lot of these millennials weren't around in 2001 and 2002 when the NASDAQ went down 80%. Can you imagine? I mean, that's that is gut-wrenching until you've gone through it. and felt it in the pit of your stomach, and I mean the pit of your stomach, you may be a little more defensive in today's market if you had gone through that experience. And many of today's investors weren't around back then. And that's why it's a pretty easy sell for them to just be a passive investor. Well, you have to make up your mind for yourself. But keep in mind, the NASDAQ went down 75%, 2001, 2002. It took 15 years to get back to where it was. Now, with the S&P hitting new all-time highs, you've got to ask yourself, are we getting into a NASDAQ type of bubble like we were in 2001? The answer to that question is absolutely not. We're now trading at a P/E ratio of about 17 or 18 on the S&P 500. It was double that back in the year 2000. And with the market hitting new all-time highs here, have we gotten to a fully valued market? I heard one analyst, and we all have our opinions, saying this morning that the market is way overvalued and people shouldn't be in it. Everybody has their opinion. Well, I base my opinion on the facts that I gather, that I observe. As long as earnings continue to grow in the S&P 500, I believe that the market will continue to go higher. That has been the one guiding North Star for me in an ocean that has been a little bit rough and snotty at times, but I've kept my wheel on the helm, steering towards those earnings that are out there on the horizon. What do those earnings look like right now? Well, if we go back to 2009, earnings for the S&P 500 bottomed out, $59 per share. They've been growing ever since then. I use FactSet Research as one of my sources, and I have four other sources for consensus S&P estimates to also check to see where the various consensus opinions are at. In addition to that, my database has the earnings estimates for this year and next year for the 500 S&P 500 companies. And those are updated every single day. It's easy to add them all up and to see what direction earnings are going. As we sit here right now, the earnings estimates for this year continue to be right around $119 per share. That's just slightly higher than where we were last year. But the bottom line is earnings have continued to grow. Even despite this leveling off, we've still had a slight increase in earnings, number one. Number two, as we look at the economy right now and all the numbers that pour in on a weekly basis, whether it's new jobless claims or whether it's inflation or whether it's the PMI, whether it's the leading indicators, whether it's the unemployment number, there still is not a sign, and that's what we're all on lookout for, there still is not any hint of a recession out there on the horizon. But we remain vigilant. Number three, and this is the most important fact of all, the earnings estimates for next year, 2017, are currently right around $135 per share, which would be about a 7 or 8% increase versus this year. The earnings expectations and the actual earnings can continue to support a higher S&P 500. I lowered my estimates just a little bit. Actually, I have $134 per share for next year's earnings. And when I applied the multiple that I think is appropriate in this environment that we currently have, especially the interest rate environment, I still have a target price on the S&P 500 of about $2,300. Oh, it was 11 or 12% undervalued after Brexit. We've taken a lot of that value out of the S&P 500. Now it's about 5 or 6% undervalued, but the market can continue to support, as of now, higher prices. The buy signal that I put in place back in 2009 remains in place today. I've been cautious several times along the way, but I never went to a sell signal. The buy signal remains in place, the $2,300 target price. And we can go within the market and look for stocks that have even more upside potential. This is Bill Gutterson. We'll talk about leading sectors when we come back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, just to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour. Well, now that I've spilled the beans on how I still feel about this market, let's take a look in the internals of the market and try to find some of the best areas of the market at the current time. I still believe that it's U.S. stocks that are the best place to be. Europe is down 5.3% right now. I wouldn't have any exposure to Europe. I mean, look what happened over the week. Look what happened in Nice, France. Look what's happening in England with Brexit. Look what happened in Turkey, which is trying to get into the European Union. I just think there's some real structural problems over there. Nor do I like the emerging markets right now, which would include China. I continue to favor, and my app continues to point to the domestic variety, the domestic vintage of stocks here in 2016. The bond market has done rather well here in 2016. The U.S. bond market has done well, but I don't know. It scares me. With interest rates at 1.56%, they've been as low as almost 1.25%. And the Fed talking about rate hikes, and Ms. Yellen saying, I think the chances are greater for rates to go higher than for them to go down into the negative territory, like they have in Japan and Switzerland and France and Germany. It just scares me. The bond market continues to make me nervous. My left eye twitches. I'm afraid of rising rates at some point down the road. Especially when you look out over the next 3, 5, and 10 years. I continue to favor U.S. stocks. And as it relates to the sectors of the market, you know, as long as the Fed is going to remain on hold and remain in a dovish mode, that continues to favor commodity-related stocks. I continue to like the energy stocks. In fact, several weeks ago I said there could be a new mega trend forming here in the energy stocks. The week later, those stocks broke out to new highs. Now they've pulled back once again as oil has fallen down to $45 per barrel. But I still remain very, very bullish. Would I have 100% of my portfolio in the energy patch? No. I am slightly overweighted in the energy patch with my portfolios. I think the gold stocks have come back into favor once again. You know, had Brexit not happened and had the Fed put the hammer down in July and hiked rates again, I think that would have been very bearish for gold. But it didn't happen, did it? Brexit happened. The Fed backed off, took their foot off the pedal, put the gavel, put the hammer away for now. And that's probably giving gold a little bit more life here. I also own some steel stocks, commodity-driven stocks, that are also soaring right now. That's another area of the market I like. The semiconductor sector has been one of the leading sectors in my app and in my newsletter for quite some time. We had some activity in the semiconductor sector today. We had SoftBank taking out ARM Holdings out of the UK. That's a big semiconductor company. And I continue to like the semiconductor stocks. I featured a couple on my show here recently. You can go back in the archives on my website at Gunderson Capital and see which ones that I have featured. And there's other areas here and there in the market sectors. Oh, healthcare sector. I also like the healthcare sector. As we look at the technicals of the market right now, I showed very clearly, I list this every week, I've been showing the S&P, the fight that's gone on between support and resistance. I said, there's a ceiling here, about 2,100, a little over 2,100 that the S&P can't get through. Well, you can see on the charts very clearly how we broke out. We broke out through the resistance level last week into new high ground. This could be the beginning of a new uptrend in the market. The earnings suggest that it can support higher highs after this breakout, that this breakout can stick and it can continue. But we take it day by day. Lots of world events happening on a daily basis. I showed very clearly how the Dow broke out to new all-time highs. Finally, it happened last week. The NASDAQ has not broken out to new all-time highs yet. There may be some opportunity there within the NASDAQ because it looks to me like it is destined to eventually follow the S&P 500 and the Dow and break out eventually to new all-time highs. I showed a chart of Europe, which I don't like. It's still in a nasty downtrend. It recovered last week post-Brexit quite a bit. I still think Europe has its issues. And as far as gold goes, I think, like I said, that there may be a little bit more life here left in gold. I did sell it earlier this year after taking a nice profit. I really thought the Fed was going to hike in July. Then Brexit came along. The world changed overnight. Not in the way that the media and the analysts expected, but it went against their expectations. It was a surprise. And so the Fed had to change their course of action, and gold also changed its course of action. And I continue to look for individual stocks within the market that offer more upside potential than the overall market. We're in earnings season. I think we're going to have 140 S&P 500. One-third of the S&P 500 will be reporting this week. Take a look at last week's newsletter. There were facts there. My opinions are based on the facts that are placed before me. This week's newsletter, we'll have a much, much better idea of how far off we are, or maybe we're close, with the estimates on the S&P for this year and next year. But as of now, the market can continue to support higher highs in the market. There's some very favorable areas in the market right now, and there's some areas that I would be very cautious with, like the utilities, the REITs, the dividend payers, Europe, foreign markets, etc. You can reach us. We manage money here, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or take a look at the weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.